Good evening. So thankful for your presence. I'm happy that you're here, and I'm happy that I have an opportunity to speak with you. We have 10 minutes to do this 20-minute lesson. This is exciting. Everybody buckle up. No, I'm kidding. I want to talk a little bit tonight, just for a few moments, about the idea of sacrifice. Sacrifice is defined as follows, and I quote, "To forego something valued or deemed desirable for the sake of something or someone having a more pressing claim." So, you heard the definition. Let me read it to you again and let that kind of digest just for a second in your mind. The definition of sacrifice: to forego something valued or deemed desirable for the sake of something or someone having a more pressing claim. The Christian's life is a life of sacrifice. Christians should be willing to give up or forego anything for the sake of Jesus, who died for them. I want to read a couple of verses that teach us this idea that's very interesting. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And so, among other things, he says that we are a spiritual priesthood, and that we have a duty of offering up spiritual sacrifices. What are those spiritual sacrifices that we offer up as priests in the kingdom of God? Well, Paul, I think, helps us understand that in Romans. If you would, go to the book of Romans and look at chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And look at verse 1. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so, with this idea of sacrifice, the way that Paul terms it is rather curious, because inherent in that word, when we think of biblical nomenclature at least, inherent in that word of sacrifice is the implication of death. When we think of the priesthood, we think of the priests of the Old Testament, and we think about their sacrifices, what do we think about? We think about them killing animals daily, every day, killing animals, killing animals, killing animals. We'll probably talk about that a little more on Sunday. That'll be a fun sermon, right? A lot of death and killing. But you think about that. You think about death. You think about killing when you think about sacrifices. The same is true when we move over into the New Testament. When we think about the sacrifice of Jesus, we think about His death. And so the ideal of death is so strongly attached to the ideal of a sacrifice that it sails on to us in the New Testament when Paul references the idea that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Well, that's interesting. This gives some hint to the idea that this sacrifice that we are to be offering as priests in the kingdom of God is something that we're doing with our bodies as we live. I think a lot of Christians do demonstrate sacrifices in their lives, but I think sometimes we get that reversed. We're practicing sacrifices, but we're reversing them around backwards. And so let's talk about a couple of examples of that. Sometimes, for instance, we sacrifice church assemblies for hunting or for fishing or for golfing or for ball games or for some social event that we want to be a part of, something we want to do. We'll sacrifice the assembly in order to do those things, and we have it exactly backwards. We have it exactly backwards. You couldn't get it any more backwards than that. The Bible teaches us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another, and more so as we see the day approaching. And so the question is, which one of these things, hunting, fishing, golfing, school events, ball games, which one of those things are you sacrificing your soul for? Think about that.
Which one of those things is worth sacrificing your soul for, exchanging your soul for? And when we think about that, as Christian parents, we ought to especially think about that. When our children have a ball game and we say, we can skip church to go to the ball game. Or when we wake up and the weather is perfect for hunting. And I don't know how many hunters there are out there, but there's a lot of days that are not perfect for hunting. It's not really worth going out there. Some days are just perfect. What about those days when you wake up on the Lord's day and it's perfect to go? What does that show our children when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together in order to hunt? Or we let them forsake the assembling of ourselves together in order to go to a ball game or to some social event? Proverbs 23:26, the proverb writer says, "My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes keep on my way." Tells his son, "Watch me, give me your heart, and keep your eyes on what I'm doing. Watch the way that I'm living." Unfortunately, sometimes, too often, children are keeping their eyes on their parents. And they are following their ways, but their ways are leading away from the Lord, and they're leading down paths of indifference and paths of neglect. We have to be careful about how we're spending our time. Are we sacrificing assemblies for these other events? Sometimes we sacrifice Bible study. We sacrifice time that we could be studying the Bible. Instead of doing that, we're watching TV or we're listening to the radio or we're reading some secular book. We're doing everything else in the world except studying. Listen to the New Testament. In 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul told Timothy, "Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Study to show thyself approved. Give attention, give yourself to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." And then in Acts 17:11, we'll read about those in Thessalonica. It says that they were more noble-minded because they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Study to show thyself approved, giving thyself unto reading and exhortation and doctrine and searching the Scriptures daily to find out whether those things are so. What are you doing instead of that? Sometimes we're sacrificing studying God's Word for other things, and we should be giving ourselves to that daily. I want you to listen to what it says in Psalms. This is chapter 119. I want to read verses 35, 131, and 167. And I'll read them in succession. And I want you to hear the general attitude of the psalmist in regard to God's word. He says, "Direct me in the paths of your commandments, for there I find delight. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commandments. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly." Is that your attitude towards the Word of God? That you find delight in His commandments? That you open your mouth and you pant and you long for His law? Or that you follow His statutes because you love them greatly? Does that describe you? Or are you sacrificing that time in order to watch your TV shows? In order to read secular books? We have the idea of sacrifice exactly backwards. One more point, and that is sometimes we sacrifice teaching others and visiting the sick and practicing hospitality for a car or a boat or a house or in the pursuit of making more money. Sometimes we're forsaking these other things that we need to be doing so that we can get earthly gain. If your heart is in the right place, then a Christian is going to attend to these duties to his fellow man. He's going to be willing to sacrifice these treasures on earth in order to store up for himself treasures in heaven. One more point in that regard, and I think this is important, and that is that I think Christians sometimes when they think about this idea of taking someone out to eat after service, or having a brother or sister over to your house, or practicing some type of benevolence, or helping the needy, or doing something good for your brother or sister in Christ, I think sometimes sometimes in our minds, we shift that duty off to the preacher. Or we shift that duty off to the elders or to some deacons or somebody like that, and we excuse ourselves from that task, thinking, I don't need to be bothered with that. That's what those folks are for. But that's wrong. That's not so at all. These are just general tenets of Christianity. This is practical Christianity. It's a thing, it's works that everybody needs to be doing, not just a certain group.
And so what are we sacrificing in place of teaching others, helping our brethren, practicing benevolence, practicing hospitality? Whatever it is, it demonstrates that we're putting a higher value on those things than we are our brethren. We're putting a higher value on secular activities over assembling with the church. We're putting value higher on reading the newspaper or watching TV than we are studying the Word of God. It's true, all right, that Christians are practicing sacrifice. We're living sometimes sacrificial lives, but we're living them exactly backwards. We're sacrificing the things that are more important for those that are far less important.
And so we don't need to sacrifice the best for the less. We don't need to put things that rank second in place of those that rank first. We need to look to Jesus to find out what true sacrifice is all about. And we need to be willing to practice that in our own lives. I hope the lesson has been beneficial to you. I hope that you'll think on these things and that they'll help improve your walk with the Lord and make your life more pleasing in His sight. Could be that you're here tonight and you've never rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, your soul is in jeopardy, eternity. And the only way to fix that, the only way to remedy your problem of sin, is to have your sins forgiven. And the only way to have your sins forgiven is through Jesus Christ. Hearing the Word of God produces faith. You need to repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here tonight and you've already done that, but you find that perhaps you have been sacrificing these things of importance for those things that are less important, you need to repent of that. Change your ways. Pray for forgiveness and start afresh. If there's any way that we can help anybody here tonight, we ask that you come forward to the front right now as we stand and sing a song to encourage you.